Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is. Rockin' and rollin' and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, coming up in 20 minutes, you'll hear from our man, Bobby Hebert. He joined us yesterday talking about the Saints. We're getting you ready for the AFC-NFC Championship games this weekend. Who's coming to the A, man? We're going to find out this weekend. By the way, real quick, point spread is 3, right? Kansas City's favored by 3. And then, of course, the Saints, 3.5 at home.
Yeah, we'll see if it gets down to 3. I'll give you all the latest gambling information, guys, from Sin City on Sunday. But, yeah, we talked to Mark Schlereth, and he was saying, you know, kind of leaning towards Patriots and Saints. But, you know, I don't know if McVay's Rams are going to be up for this one. I mean, everybody's darling. Everyone's so enamored with this. The teams are trying to find the next Sean McVay. They're even trying to find guys that look like Sean McVay. But are they going to be able to handle it? Because first, you know, unless you feel that the test run, the regular season game in the Superdome, you know, was things they could learn from and use to their advantage. We'll find out.
All right, more NFL conversation on the way. Hey, text us, guys, 404-741-0929. You can always get involved with the show that way. On social media, like the station on Facebook if you've not done so. The Gram as well, you can find us. And on Twitter, where he is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, see Dukes. And this radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. Hey, if you missed our conversation with Mark Schlereth, very good stuff. We asked him about the zone blocking scheme, Mike. And, you know, I think we take this for granted. And this kind of alludes to something Mike and I have been talking about with our football team. You can't just plug guys in. You still have to have really good players up front, okay? And for Mark Schlereth, who was a 3-time Super Bowl champion, you know, again, I think we just kind of take for granted, oh, you can put anybody in there. You can't. You need talent, just like you need talent everywhere else.
Right. And the one thing that Mark pointed out is part of the reason they had such amazing success was continuity. Guys stayed together and they stayed healthy. You know, back then it was because they were all drafted or Mark came over from the Redskins as a free agent, but he stayed there for a decade. You know, with our Falcons, 15, you know, our O-line was a disaster. 16, Chris Chester comes in, Lavitre comes in, you know, late in the season from 15, and he carries over. And Alex Mack, of course, was the glue that brings it all together. And we go all the way with those guys through 16 games without an injury. But we haven't been able to replicate that. And Schlereth, if you missed the interview to Carl's point, basically says that's what you got to have. You got to have attitude, edge. And by the way, yes, not just anybody. He says you need really – everyone says undersized, you know, big guys that can move. They do exist on this planet. You just got to find them.
I don't know. You know, I think we all got caught up in that when Shanahan came in and started changing. Because remember, we had signed some guys and we moved away from them. And we thought, okay, we want smaller guys who can get to the second level. That is a part of it. But still, they got to be players. You still have to have players. And I think that is a lost comment in this whole idea of let's just go find some offensive linemen. You'll hear Mark Schlereth a little bit later on. Right now, though, let's get to On the Sidelines with the Dog.
Sid Bell on the Sidelines with the Dogs.
Now, we talk college football each and every day. Things are ramping up, obviously, as recruiting and the National Signing Day approaches. The early signing period has happened. We'll be talking more with some of the experts. Mike and I don't claim to be experts when it comes to recruiting. We get the experts on, and we know it's a big deal, but it looks like Alabama's still going to have the number one recruiting class when it's all said and done. But the thing is, guys, Alabama continues to lose assistants, Mike Bell, and the latest has a lot of people scratching their head, and a guy named Dan Enos, who is now headed to Miami.
Yeah, if you guys have been following this one, Nick Saban, and the way it was initially reported by Bruce Feldman is Saban is walking down the hallway at the spacious facilities in Tuscaloosa, and he goes, hey, where the blank is Dan? Talking about his supposed to be his new OC. He's going to be elevated offensive coordinator as Mike Locksley moves on to Maryland. And apparently some of the assistants already knew that the dude had split, had left the building, and no one had told the big boss man. Apparently, Saban, none too happy about it. You and I said, whatever happened to man-to-man eye contact, shake my hand, here's what I'm doing, I appreciate this. I know this doesn't come easy, but here's where I'm going and why.
Thank you.
And that's it.
Yeah.
But according to a report I just read from the Birmingham people, it should be no surprise. He resigned as Central Michigan's head coach so he could take a job as Arkansas's offensive coordinator, left them in the lurch. Well, that happens. But then last offseason, he spent just a few weeks with Harbaugh at Michigan before he split to go to Bama. So he's a bit of a, you know.
Flake.
He's a slippery guy, Carl.
You can say it.
He's moving from spot to spot. But here's the thing. You're offensive coordinator for Alabama, Nick Saban, all the pieces in place, Tua Tagovailoa, another Tagovailoa on the way, all the pieces there, another draft class, number one, or go down to Miami and help Manny Diaz figure out that offense after everybody's left. I just don't understand his unless the Miami came with crazy cash or he's sick of I don't know. I just, it's very hard to get your head around. Everybody goes to Alabama and then just gets a better job afterwards.
Well, yeah, I think the impression is, again, we've said this, that the genius juice is going to rub off on somebody, and they're going to bring that with them. The only guy that I would say that's really happening with, all right, and listen, I think you have the Coach Nick Saban coaching tree. You look around, and there's a lot of guys that have either broached that program or touched it in some way, shape, or form and moved on. But, you know, for Kirby, he spent almost a decade there before taking a head coaching job and has set Georgia up for long-term success. Dan Enos, by the way, tweeted out, quote, "I would never leave an employer without telling them I was doing so. No ghosting here." Well, Mike just told you, ghosted a couple other jobs. Nothing but respect for CNS, that's Coach Nick Saban, and Alabama. Bottom line, business is business, and it was time for me to exit. Wish all the best to Alabama and Coach Nick Saban.
In case you're wondering, you know, where does the truth lie? We mentioned this earlier in the show, but if you guys, if you ever are on the Birmingham side, you listen to Aaron over there on Jocks, Aaron Suttles. He was talking about Feldman's story and saying that it's real, that Feldman's got it right, that Saban had no idea this dude had flown the coop, and that apparently he was super hot over it, and assistants are like, oh, it's just very strange. It's below a lateral move. It's Miami's not there. Miami gave you a taste of it 2 years ago, and they took a giant step backwards this year.
No, I just think, Mike, and I don't want to say it's a generational thing, okay? I don't want to say it's millennials.
Kind of.
But the way you leave a job used to matter. It did. Now, I don't know if it still applies, okay? You know, I've been very fortunate in my career. You know, I tell people this. People have called me. They called me for this job. I didn't call them. I have people reaching out to me, so I'm not looking for jobs like some people in some careers, and maybe that will change for me. But I think, Mike, the way you leave a job used to matter because you always wondered how that might come back to affect you.
Right. We talked about this earlier in the show. And again, we don't want to sound like old farts because, I mean, as there are some values that do matter. I mean, it might seem like a punchline to a joke to some people out there. But, I mean, you might cross paths with that guy again. You know, your rep is your word and your reputation is all you have in this world, right? Well, apparently not. But anyway, he was not planning to apparently have that kind of eye-to-eye contact on the way out. Meanwhile, as we're talking about coaching carousels, Alabama's picking up our former, well, he never was because he never got to do it during a game, but our supposed clock management strategy guy, Kyle Flood, who was our assistant offensive coordinator, leaving Dan Quinn in the lurch to become the O-line coach for the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Yeah, Coach Flood was the assistant O-line coach here for, you know, Coach Dan Quinn. And again, I know Quinn and Saban have a great relationship, and Coach Quinn has alluded to that.
Sark's back there, so if anything, maybe Flood has a relationship with Sark, yep. And Sark's the OC now.
Yeah, and again, you don't know how these things play out behind the scenes, but either way, now Dan Quinn, which is something we'll talk about in the Falcon Report about an hour from now, is now looking for maybe someone else to step up and take that role, Mike, to help him with clock management.
But wait, there's more. Georgia's offensive coordinator, James Coley, according to Ian Rappaport on Rap Sheet from NFLNetwork.com, NFL Network, saying that Coley's going to receive some consideration to be the Cowboys offensive coordinator.
What?
Tight end coach Doug Nussmeier is in the mix. Linehan got fired if you missed the NFL Blitz. But now our intrepid producer, Samuel Tarley, who's a Georgia booster, is going, what's this? But yeah, that seems like a stretch. But James Coley's name, how do these names get linked? Go figure, but he's out there in an NFL report linking him to the Cowboys.
All right.
And he wasn't even he was a sort of the assistant co-OC, right? I mean, with Cheney, who flew the coop for Knoxville.
Why didn't Garrett just call the place?
Coley was there. He was at Florida State. He was in Miami, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's interesting. It's just very strange, isn't it? Again, this could be all bunk, but it's out there.
Yeah. Listen, we hope that he stays at Georgia. I think that he is such an impactful guy in the recruiting scene for them right. that you would hope that he'd stick around.
They gave him a raise to kick, so he would stick around. So, I mean, it's interesting. I was of the impression that Chaney had the final decision. That's why we're always on Chaney's butt, because the Fezzer didn't like those decisions up there in the coach's box.
Hey, this segment brought to you by our friends at BrightBox.
BrightBox Electrical, man, 770-901-2500. Backup generators, anything you need electrical, call the pros, man. Don't try to do it yourself. You can't put a ceiling fan in the way they can. Don't do it. Don't be stupid.
This is interesting, and then we're going to get to some Urban Meyer conversation. But I also think this is an element of what guys are aware of, and I think, you know, I'm not sticking around any longer than I have to. The 2019 NFL draft is going to have a record number of college football players entering the draft with eligibility, meaning underclassmen declaring. And if you go back and look at these numbers, in 2017, just for an example, you had 103 underclassmen eligible for the draft.
Right.
And that jumped from 103 to 119 in 2018. This year, it's 135. Mike, I just think that guys believe, you know what, if I can go and get drafted, the quicker I get to that first deal,
right.
you know, and maybe, you know, I'm not a first-round pick, but why am I going to stay around and potentially get injured? And this is why guys are not playing in bowl games,
right.
yada, yada, yada.
I mean, there's only 32 that are going to go in the first round, which gets you that guaranteed money, you know, that contract which is set up for that fifth year, which can get picked up. But, you know, in the case of a guy like Elijah Holyfield, you know, I mean, you're risking wear and tear because you know you're going to get some tough carries in between the tackles. So certainly I think for running backs, you could argue, and Drew Lock stayed because he needed to help his draft stock, and it did. And we don't really respect, you know, his big game experience, but Drew Lock's got all the measurables that GMs are looking for, and I think he certainly, he improved his case, right, for being a first rounder.
Yes, you know, we talked about this the other day. Haskins, obviously Tyler Murray, the kid out of Duke, and I would tell you that Drew Lock is also going to be in there. Now I want to see what he does at the combine.
Yeah, Daniel Jones is the kid from Duke. Sam just mentioned in our ear. But yeah, man. And then by the way, while we're talking football, real quick, we mentioned this on the show yesterday. But Jordan Yates, quarterback, 4-star from Milton, coming to Georgia Tech. So a nice piece of recruiting by Jeff Collins. I know there's everyone gets focused on that the first day of the year, you know, the new early signing period. But I saw an article, and I think it was on. I think it was Kelly. Is it who's the guy that writes the website? Squid. We've had him on the show from Georgia Tech. Kelly Quinlan, excuse me, had it, and they were talking about either the OC or quarterbacks coach saying the transition from where they were with Paul Johnson. Don't read so much like this is going to be an impossible task. Like they can't put a competitive product on the field offensively next season.
Yeah, it's a dual threat kid that they signed, who's very talented. I think Georgia Tech fans will like what they see with him. All right, what's going on with Urban Meyer?
Well, he's gonna take that time off to get centered. To obviously spend quality time with his family and, you know, just get right, Carl.
Stop lying.
And he's going to work for Fox.
Yes.
The already terrible Fox Studio college show. College football and Fox, Carl, like a fish in a bicycle. But now Urban Meyer gets thrown into that mix. Well, he did do a decent job working for ESPN.
He did. I mean, the year off or so that he, you know, he took or whatever it was, 18 months, I thought he did a decent job there. But, yeah, reports are that he is working or is close to a deal with Fox Sports as an analyst. They're giving him an option. What do you want to do? You want to call games? You want to be an analyst? What do you want to do? So it's not yet been determined exactly what
he's going to
do. I
thought he was
going
to be assistant AD and, like, teach at Ohio State.
He can put on more than one hat. I mean, come on. You know, he wants to stay busy.
That's three hats. That's a lot of hats for a guy that's retired because of his health.
You better have a Tums with him.
Is anybody buying this at all? Don't you think that a premier job opens up and Urban Meyer's name is going to pop up?
Yes.
Yeah.
And yes.
Yeah. Okay. So Fox has been working on this, apparently. And listen, say what you want about Fox, but they're the broadcasting partners for the Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12. They got college football. And, you know, when they were making this transition to trying to go after ESPN, one of the things they did is they had games.
Right.
And they needed guys to basically be involved with that. So we'll see if Meyer or what position he ends up taking. But I just think this is why it's a crock, all the stuff that we heard. Now, if Meyer, for whatever reason, didn't take this job and focused on being the assistant athletic director at Ohio State, nobody would be talking about this. But it's almost like, you know, it's smoke and mirrors. And that's the problem. This guy, just tell the truth.
He's just not very genuine. So, like, he'll, you know, he'll keep his name out there and he'll be in for any of the bigger jobs. Just curious, what's the big job? Because you could argue, even though they always come up short in the big one, you know, Notre Dame is like, seems to be the one that would be the one job he couldn't say no to, but Kelly's not going anywhere.
Mm-mm.
Not right now.
No, and here's the other thing. This was supposed to be his dream job, Ohio State. Midwest guy. We know who his mentor was. This was supposed to be the place where
taking
he was
care of Earl Bruce's idiot nephew is what got him. you know, at the end of the day. But yeah, look, he's still got some track. He's got some tread on that tire. He'll go somewhere else and get them in a Final Four for football.
Well, your chance to win $1,000 coming up here on Dukes and Bell in just a few minutes. Hey, we're talking college football and all these coaching moves, and you know, it's interesting that all this movement with players. First of all, the portal and quarterbacks, and that's been interesting. But these moves with some of the coaching moves that have happened. And as you said, some guys seemingly taking lateral moves, not upward mobility, right?
Right.
That's the part that you kind of scratch your head at. And the Dan Enos thing, and I'm just getting back to Alabama. This is, and I've been saying this, this is the brilliance. Until it falls off or they fall off, which is not going to happen. He's got another top recruiting class coming in. This is the brilliance of Saban. You know, you got guys leaving not wanting even to tell him that they're leaving, and he's going to roll another guy in, and they're going to buy in, and they're going to do what they do at Alabama, and he's got the talent. Guys, talent still wins. And I've said this. We can talk all you want about, you know, all these other things. Give me all the five stars, and then I'll deal with it. And that's kind of what Bama does.
Yeah, I mean, I do think, and you and I were debating this, and again, it's semantics because, as Carl just pointed out, they just plug in the next elite-level coach. And look, Sark did a fantastic job with our offense when you consider all the things we had to deal with. No offensive line, no run game whatsoever. You know, I mean, we had to have fall guys for Quinn to keep his gig, and so be it. But now that you're over there at Alabama, good for Sark. I mean, he's certainly a guy that knows what he's doing. And, you know, as far as down the road, does it hurt you with recruiting when you still have this much, turnover? Well, they got the number one class right now. If they hold on to it, because that was the one argument that, you know, Dabo's got that continuity at Clemson. None of his guys are going anywhere.
Bart says Dukes and Bell, Urban's going to end up at USC, Southern Cal, in a year or two.
That's a great get. That's a perfect spot for him.
That's what he says.
Yeah, that'd be a perfect fit, right?
I think so. Hey, man, let's give you a chance to win some money.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Don't be a Mark, guys. Mark, M-A-R-K.
Hey, what does that mean?
M-A-R-K is the word.
What's the matter with me? What's the matter with you?
Yeah, 72881. That is the number you texted
Wait,
to.
That's Mark with a C. I'm sorry. Mark with a K goes to 72881.
That's cold. Corny but cold. Hey, good luck, guys. Remember, message and data rates apply. You didn't hear it. You need to stay right there because Bobby Avery has got some knowledge for you about the Saints and our Falcons. You'll hear it next. Let's get right to it. It is championship week. We are Dukes and Bell, and we love talking to Bobby Avery and getting his insight on things. He joins us right now on the WaitForward.com hotline. And Bobby, boy, I tell you what, it was a hell of a comeback last week against the Eagles. And now we're looking at this Rams game, and everybody thinks it's going to be a high-scoring affair. And, you know, we heard from Drew Brees, and he said, listen, we expected to see the Rams down the road. What do you think, just initially, about what we should see on Sunday from the Saints?
Well, I don't know. Initially, I'd say take the under. You know, you might not have a betting public out there, but if you look at the first game, they combined to score 80 points. I don't think we'll see that shootout-type game now. When you look at it, you could see a shootout if you describe that as high 20s or low 30s, because you look at it, it's the first time in the Super Bowl era that the NFL's top four scoring offenses, you know, all reach the conference championship. So, yeah, I could see like 31-27. I think if the Saints get off to a slow start like they did against the Eagles, there's no way they're going to win. Just think you got to get off to a great start. The first time when they jumped all over the Rams, they had 150 yards in that first quarter. They were up 14-7. I think it's going to take that kind of effort. And then I just look what the Saints and Rams have done defensively as of late. And look, the Saints have allowed less than 20 points in seven of their past nine games. And the Rams have held four of their past six opponents to 22 or fewer points. So that's why I just don't think it's a shootout. And then I don't think this is going to happen again. This had to be Aaron Donald's, you know, worst game of the year. And you know how dominant he is.
Right.
Look, led the NFL 20 and a half sacks, 25 tackles for loss against the Saints in week nine. He had just one tackle. I can remember, I know he hit Drew Brees pretty hard three or four times, but he just had one tackle the whole game. I don't think that's going to happen again.
It is Bobby Hebert, man, as we're talking to the guy that was a Falcon quarterback, he was a Saints quarterback, and he was USFL Championship Game MVP, Bobby Hebert, with us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Always a Michigan Panther. All right, Cajun Cannon, what about Sheldon Rankins, and how bad does that mess things up defensively for the Saints?
Well, yeah, how are you going to stop the bowling ball? And then Todd Gurley, I've always been a Todd Gurley, going back to the conversation I initially had with Buck Ballou. Talk about old school. Buck Ballou told me, said, hey, Bob, I think this guy might be the closest thing to Herschel. You know, Georgia's had some great running backs. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, they just embarrassed the Cowgirls. When you look at what happened against Dallas, talk about getting humbled. So I don't know if they're going to miss Sheldon Rankins. He had 8 sacks, but he's stout against the run. So you ate in the box and you forced Jared Goff to beat you. The one thing that's he's not available for the Rams, and I think he was Jared Goff's security blanket, is Cooper Kupp.
Mm.
Cooper Kupp burned the Saints. You know, the Saints were up by 21 points, and the Rams came back and tied the game, and the Saints ultimately won 45-35. But not having Cooper Kupp. But you know what, Mike, you can't use excuses with injuries right now. Everybody's dealing with something. But that does concern me, you know, not having Sheldon Rankins, and how are we going to stop that Rams rushing attack? Because if you look, I mean, that's something, you know, can you stop the run? Okay, what do you mean by stop the run? The Saints overall, if you look, had the number one run defense the majority of the year. Then the Bears beat them, you know, about 3 or 4 yards, and the Saints really didn't play that last game. But they were able to hold the Rams to 92 yards rushing. Now, this is the key. This is why I think, Mike, we got to stop the run if you're a Saints fan.
Right.
When you talk about the Rams and what they've done, the losses, only 5 times the Rams were held under 100 yards all season, and their record was 2-3. And guess what? They finished 13-3. So I don't know, moral of the story, hold the Rams under 100 yards rushing, you probably got a great chance to win.
Bobby Hebert joining us, guys, here on Dukes and Bell, part of our strong arm story of the day as we get ready for championship weekend. Bobby, Michael Thomas is a beast. I mean, 12 of 16 targets last week, 171 yards, a touchdown. It doesn't look like he ever misses a ball. I know he's missed a few, but how big is he to what Drew Brees has been doing here this season?
Well, his hands are so strong. He never, very seldom catches it with his body. He, you know, if he has to, he does, but he's so strong with his hands, and if it's like a jump ball, you're going up for a rebound. Like I said, his hands are so strong, he comes down with those receptions. But I don't know. Aqib Talib, that's another one. Aqib Talib didn't play first time around, and the Saints have had some past history with Aqib Talib. I can remember they were playing the Patriots, and Bill Belichick put Aqib Talib on Jimmy Graham and punked him. I'm talking about he shut him out. Michael Thomas ain't no punk, though. So that'll be interesting to see. It might be like old Deion Sanders and Andre Rison, and a fight might break out between Aqib and Michael Thomas. But the one with Marcus Peters, see, what's scary about them quarterbacks is that how I say they thieves, they cheat. What they'll do is they'll squat and try and, you know, they might give up a big play and the Saints burn them with a double move, but can you have enough time for Drew to beat them on a double move? Because they're going to squat and try and get those pick sixes, so... yeah, that's going to be another challenge with Talib. But if it's one-on-one, I like Michael Thomas's chances, but I can see the Rams, they're going to try and make some other receiver beat him, whether they're playing him in and out or short and long, because that's been one Achilles heel for that Saints offense, even though they're prolific they've been. And Drew wants to spread the ball around, but a lot of these other guys, young guys especially, haven't been stepping up.
It is Bobby Hebert. If you don't recognize the voice, would you be living under a rock? Man made his bones in the radio business here in the ATL before going back home. Bobby joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Bobby, what's the over-under for Taysom Hill gadget plays in this game?
Taysom Hill. Now, listen, Taysom Hill is unbelievable. Taysom Hill, listen, Tim Tebow should have been Taysom Hill if he was humble enough.
Right.
You'd think him being a Christian, he would have been humble. Tim Tebow could have turned into Taysom Hill if he wouldn't have just wanted to play a pure quarterback. Because Tebow would have had that ability. He could have had a multi-year NFL career, but talk about a fan favorite. You know, everyone loves Drew Brees. You know, run for mayor, run for governor. Taysom Hill, I mean, with his status in 1 year, he has that same kind of stroke. But he's almost too good to be true, but he's too good for my liking. He's just a great Mormon. I know he's not a virgin, but I think he's married and everything. But I can tell you what, talk about an outstanding individual and tough. Taysom Hill can run around you or run over you. And the reason why he'll never be a pure quarterback, though, we've seen him so many times in practice. Sean Payton was trying to give an opportunity. He's not accurate enough throwing the football. But he had a nice play for a touchdown. He got called back with a penalty and a long ball. So
right.
he, he's a jack of all trades. And listen, Saints fans, they love the way Sean Payton makes it up and utilizes. So I would say Taysom Hill's definitely involved pursuing a handful of plays, what they're trying to do offensively, maybe some fake field goal, or they did the fake punt last week. So he's definitely going to be involved, and the Saints fans always look forward to that.
Bobby, what concerns you about this Rams offense?
What concerns about the Rams, not just the offense, the Rams, the team. The Rams is like an all-pro team that's playing together, like a Pro Bowl team. Look, Adamakin Sue's motivated. Adamakin Sue, he's like, man, I'm not playing for months, but if I only got to play two or three games and that contract may be coming up and go to the Super Bowl, that's what's scary about I look at the Rams. You know, I look at the Pittsburgh Steelers. How can they not make the playoffs? Talk about dysfunction.
Right.
They are so dysfunctional. The Rams could potentially have been like that if they wouldn't have won. But once they win, everyone's on board. So, no, the Rams, to me, it's an all-star team that is playing together. Can Jerry Goff kind of carry his weight? You look at Sean McVay. But the Rams' offense, what scares me is their offensive line, how well they blocked, and that they just pound you. And they got that two-headed monster. It's not just Todd Gurley, but C.J. Anderson. All of a sudden having three straight games over 100 yards. And it's going to come down to, I'm telling you, this is going to be the game. I can see it right now. Either Will Lutz is going to have a game-winning kick or not to win or lose, or Zerline. And that guy can kick it from 55-60. So it's going to go, I think, down the wire who has that game-winning field goal. And you know, this is a cliche no one likes to hear, but truly, I say the Saints have to be plus one in that turnover margin to win, or even a plus two. They cannot be in the minus category because I think the Rams are that good. And you look during the season, the Rams, I think they were plus 11. We were the Saints were plus eight. So that's going to be a key. Simple as that. Can they take away the football when Drew Brees has to protect it?
Cajun Cannon leaning towards the under, but the point spread, man, sounds to be about right. Tease it down to 2.5 if you're taking the Saints. Mm. Hey, Bobby, before we let you go, man, because Bobby, of course, played here in the Georgia Dome for the Falcons, did radio here in Atlanta, and I know you know the Falcons. Just to get your opinion from afar, I mean, we think offensive line is the key for next year. What do you make of this team?
Well, I think they got the right quarterback in Matt Ryan. I truly believe that. I've always been a Matt Ryan fan. I don't know, to me in the trenches, I've kind of viewed the Falcons as compared to where the Saints are at, or what I look at, who's winning. You know, as a fan, you follow the football. So who's winning in the trenches, offensive and defensive line? And I think definitely, to me, that's where the Falcons need to get better. I'm just talking about not only this season, but in past seasons. All I know is, look at that first game, Saints-Falcons, the shootout, okay? Whoever won the coin toss is going to win the game in overtime.
Right.
Well, you don't want to be in those kind of games. Well, you're going to be a 500 team. You're going to win one. You're going to lose one. That's why you have to be much more dominant defensively. And that's one thing Dennis Allen and the Saints did this year. And that's why Coach Quinn, that, hey, you're a defensive coach. You know, it's like this. If the Saints defense kicks butt, Sean Payton has nothing to do with that. So that's all Dennis Allen. Well, what is your – everybody has a wheelhouse. But what is your background? If the offense rolls, that's all Sean Payton. That's why no excuse for Coach Quinn and the Falcons if the defense is not playing, should be a top 10, top 12 defense, because that's his wheelhouse.
Bobby Hebert, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, man. Appreciate the insight. We will see what goes down this weekend.
Now, we'd say, Bobby, we look forward to catching up and doing some drinking with you here at the Super Bowl. We can't have that.
No.
Well, no, I tell you what, it's going to be like a blitzkrieg. I hope Atlanta fans can handle it. The only thing is Saints fans ain't coming to Atlanta to fight if they go to the Super Bowl. They're going to spend a lot of money, but you're going to have to handle their celebration because you know they're going to try and take over all the barrooms.
He ain't lying. And by the way, the rooms, by the way, are at a premium. If you read the article in the AJC, I guess it was this morning, saying that even up in Alpharetta, they're at like 88% occupancy for Super Bowl week, Carl. Hotel rooms are hard to find.
Yeah, listen, it's going to be fun, but just prepare yourself. As Mike and I said, listen, we go to these Super Bowls and, you know,
we're professionals.
We go to other cities, and it's easy when you're in the midst of everything. But when you live in the city that it comes to,
right,
it's always different. Hey, we got Steve Coonan that's going to join us coming up here,
Puffy
guys.
Puffy K.
Yes, he will talk to us about what's been going on with our Hawks. Why are we winning so much? And we'll get into a discussion about what's going on with the Super Bowl at State Farm Arena. It's on the way.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We do it virtually every week, guys. We get a chance to talk to the Hawks CEO. His name is Steve Koonin. And before we get into some Hawks conversation, you ready for the Super Bowl, my man?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be insane in this town. I am really, really happy about the concerts. We got three unbelievable nights of concerts, a lot of parties planned, and it should be really, really something.
Yeah, you guys are kind of like the epicenter of all the fun and stuff going down. And here's the question, Steve, because we were talking earlier about Super Bowl weekend. We've been to a bunch of Super Bowls. I know you as a big macha in the entertainment business have been. But do you have any juice to get us into the big parties? You know, the Playboy party, the Maxim party. I mean, can we ride it on your coattails?
No. No. You know, it's funny. With the three concerts we have, it's sad I can't actually use all these party invitations that I've been getting, which I am very appreciative of.
Really?
They are. It says at the bottom, non-transferable.
Right. Oh, right. Okay. Right.
Well, I mean,
so I apologize.
I mean, I do know some people in the movie industry that can make me look like you. I'm just saying.
Hey, go for it.
Okay. But I'll need the tickets.
Who am I? I'm Steve Koonin.
That's who I am.
Okay. Well, yeah, that won't even get you into a movie theater or a telephone booth. But give it a shot. See how it goes.
Steve Koonin, our guest here on Dukes and Bell. All right. Why are we winning? What's going on? Mike and I went down to the Oklahoma City game. Fun, entertaining game. And we've said this, guys. If you've not been to State Farm Arena, you need to make your way down there. I'll tell you a quick story. I went to a little coffee place over by my house. And the folks in there know me. And I walked in, and one of the waitresses said, I couldn't believe it. I went to the game the other night, and I had so much fun. And she had not been to the State Farm Arena. She had not been down there to the renovated, you know, State Farm. And she was talking about how her and her husband absolutely loved it, and they had a good time. But she said the shocker was we were actually in the game. And I said, yeah, they've been playing really well as of late.
Well, you know, the conundrum, word of the day, is when you roll out Collins, Trey Young, and Kevin Huerter, and they get 56 points and 20-something rebounds and 20-something assists, you're giving your young guys minutes, and that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're not trying to lose. We never have tried to lose, but we want to get our young guys minutes. And when they put on 142-point performance, you take a step back and applaud. We're in the professional sports business. We're going to compete every minute. Our roster is young, and therefore we're disadvantaged in a lot of games, but we're 8-7 over the last 15, and it's not that we're doing anything except giving our young guys minutes, and they're responding, which I think bodes incredibly well for our future.
No, no joke, Steve. As Steve Koonin joins us here, brought to you by Kumho Tires, our man Puffy K, Hawks CEO. It was a fantastic vibe. Herter's been money. You talked about John Collins, who's getting better and better, and Trey. I mean, it was an electric atmosphere. We all got swept up in it, and there'll be plenty of time to lose games after the All-Star break.
So, what other parties are you interested in?
No,
I'm just can get you into a few.
No. I mean, look, we all know what the plan is. There is a plan. I know you cannot address it because you don't want to get you in trouble like Mark Cuban.
To develop our young players,
right? And it's working.
There's a result for doing that, and it's working. And that's what we should be talking about and getting excited about, that the plan is working. However, I said we understand both sides of the coin, and I hear you.
Right,
I hear you.
Steve Koonin, I'll tell you, man, and when you talk about, you know, all these things coming to the city, Mike and I have been talking about this, and you know, we want to put our best face on when all these folks come to town, right? And, you know, there's some things out of our control, Mother Nature, the weather. But what as far as things that you've heard about or things, you know, the big wigs you've been talking to around town that are important to make sure Atlanta puts its best face on?
Well, I think the TSA issue at the airport is a new and real wrinkle. And that's very concerning. Not getting into politics or anything.
Right, right.
But having people have a, you know, 5-hour wait or a terrible experience. If you've been to a Super Bowl before, it's like a giant evacuation on Monday morning.
Right.
And that's the last impression people get of the city. So that has, you know, that has me concerned. And hopefully there can be a resolution and a solve for that. The weather impacted us terribly in 2000, 19 years ago. I was there. And it was a real, real issue. And what I'm hoping is it can be, you know, I'm looking at my thermometer in my car right now. It's 59 degrees and the sun's peeking out. Let it be like this. Let Atlanta shine.
Right.
You know, for the national championship football game, the weather could not have been nastier. You know, I mean, that cold rain as we stood outside for a long time. So I'm hoping for mild weather. I'm hoping that a lot of people come downtown, but come down on MARTA, come to the concerts, you know, plan smartly. And I think it's our time to shine. I think this city is going to be electric. The four best teams have made the finals, which rarely happens. And it's going to be interesting to see who plays here. It'll be really interesting.
It is our weekly visit with Steve Coonan, guys, CEO of your Atlanta Hawks. And if you're just tuning in, there's State Farm. They got a bunch of big concerts going on, a lot of stuff going down around town, concerts in Centennial Olympic Park, stuff at Atlantic Station. I mean, as we said, we're just fingers crossed for the weather. What do you think, though, man? Are you a little nervous about those Saints coming to town? Do you think the Rams can get it done?
Well, I think home field advantage at this round of the playoffs is the most important thing you can have. So, while I don't think any – I think the Saints coming to town will also be a really different dynamic, because they're not going to – a lot of their fans won't fly to town. Mm-hmm. A lot of their fans won't need hotel rooms. A lot of their fans – you know, it's a different city than a Los Angeles, which, you know, truly hasn't had – hasn't called the Rams its own, even in the pecking order. I don't even think they're third in that city.
Right.
So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. And then from New England, who has it down so pat, they have their own – their decor people and their party planners were in town this week.
Yeah.
They've been so often. They literally have their own division for party planning and decor. So Kansas City coming in could be really interesting, because they haven't been in the Super Bowl in a long, long time. And I think they've got a dynamic team that could be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, listen, either way, we get the biggest event in the world. I mean, we have some rooting interest and some things we're hoping that play out, but we have no control over that, you know. And all we can do is put on a great event and hopefully, as Mike and I say, get in the mix for future Super Bowls, because that's really what we're trying to do, right? I mean, we know this is not going to be, hopefully, our only opportunity to host one. I don't know when it'll be another one, but we don't want it to be 20 years from now, right?
No, but we got March Madness next year.
That's
so
right.
We're teed up really well.
Right.
And, you know, now's the time to shine. You've got unbelievable facilities downtown. You've got a city that's only on the rise. And let the world see us. Let them see us and experience us. And I think it's going to be fantastic.
All right, Big Steve. Have a great weekend, brother. I'll be talking to you down the road.
Two games, guys, coming up. Big one with the Celtics tomorrow night. Few tickets left. And then Monday, MLK Day, a 3:30 game. And a fabulous way to spend the day. The commissioner of the NBA will be coming in. It's going to be a big day.
Nice. Well, again, get your tickets, guys. Go to Hawks.com and see what you got. And we were just up there, like, as we said, for the Thunder game. The amenities, everything's just state-of-the-art. And just so cool, everybody can walk around and circumnavigate State Farm. It's a blast.
Thank you, gentlemen. Everybody have a great weekend. And I look forward to seeing what our Super Bowl is going to look like here.
All right, Steve Coonan, thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon. We'll be calling for those invites. Thanks, Steve. All right, guys, that's Steve Coonan. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk some Falcons, and we will get into the latest assistant coach deciding to move on, making a career decision with our Falcons. And also, part of our big story, guys, you'll hear from some of the guys that will be participating on Sunday, but the coaches talking to the media, including Bill Belichick, Sean McVay. It's all on the way.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.